Well, tonight we are in part two of our series called Let's Talk Relationships. We started this series last week, and next week we're going to finish the series. And the whole purpose of this series is to just give some really practical advice to you as a middle school student or a high school student as you deal with relationships. Because here's what I know just from personal experience, is that my greatest moments in life have typically involved relationships that I'm involved with, either with parents or with my wife or with friends. Typically, people I'm in a relationship with are involved in my favorite moments. But I also know this, that the most frustrating moments I've ever had typically involve relationships as well. And your most frustrating moments, the things in your life that cause you stress, probably involve relationships as well. So last week we talked about your relationship with your parents and just looked at some really practical advice as you deal with that relationship. Tonight's topic is on friendship. And I really believe that when you're in middle school and when you're in high school, no relationship has more influence on your life than your friendships. Because as you start to get to middle school, you start to get to high school, and your parents start to kind of remove the supervision a bit. They start to let you make your own decisions. Typically, once you're in high school, your friends become the number one influence in your life, even more so than your parents. So as you deal with your friendships, it's so important that you have healthy friendships, healthy relationships with people, whether it's at church or at school or on your sports team. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And to help me out tonight, I've got some lovely people who are going to be on our panel. Let me introduce them to you. We've got Josh Rummage, one of our senior leaders. Logan Hutchinson, another one of our senior guy leaders. And then for the second week in the row, Morgan Rummage showing up. Perfect, right there. Y'all doing good? Logan, I like the look. I tried to pull it off. Clifford told me today is the first time where I don't look old.
He's not wrong.
I don't know if that's good or not. Yeah, is that good?
Is this working?
All right, you're on now.
Okay.
You want to do a mic check?
Mic check.
He is on. Morgan, right. Are you on? You don't have a microphone. Okay.
It is coming.
It's coming. All right, cool. All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started. We're going to start with question number one, and it is this. What are the dangers of picking the wrong friends in middle school or high school? What trouble can they get into if they pick the wrong friends?
I think you have to kind of know a little bit about yourself before you can really make that decision of what the wrong friend is for you. Because if you don't know, at least I found, if you don't know who you want to be, you can't really know if you're being led in the wrong direction by somebody. So I think you have to know kind of what kind of person you want to be before you get led in the wrong direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say mostly you have to make sure you find friends that are going to have the same values as you, because that's what matters most in the end. But also, like, these are the people, especially in, like, middle school and high school, that's the people, they say you don't get friends after you're 25. That's, like, the
end. Wow, I turned 26 this past year.
Yeah, we're
so it's over. I'm stuck with y'all. Cool.
Pretty much.
Cool.
Are the years that you really make friendships, and those are the years where the relationships that you have start to build and mold, and it's kind of, it can go either way. You can either have really good friendships that are going to lead you in God-honoring way, or you can choose otherwise and go a different direction with it.
Yeah, and as you guys begin to grow and to change, especially in your middle school and high school years, you want to make sure that you have a strong group of friends that are influencing you in the positive direction. You know, you're beginning to learn all of these new things about yourself and what you believe, and it's so important for you to have friends that will challenge you to grow positively and not hinder you as well.
Would you say any of you had friendships that were not healthy for you in middle school or high school and kind of led
Absolutely.
In the wrong direction?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Why did you keep those friendships? Or did you?
I kept those friendships, even though I know Matthew might not have kept his friendships, but
False.
He's over 25, so he's just losing.
We're gonna get to that question later. But what was the question you had? I'm sorry.
Like, did you have experiences where you were led in the wrong direction?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there comes a point where there's a difference between a friend and a best friend. And I think it's still okay to be friends with that person, but to also have the backing of best friends that have the same values as you so that you can't be pulled in that direction.
And I feel like you don't know you're getting led in that direction until it's probably too late. Like, unless you're very self-aware, you don't know, like, the people are bringing you down around you. You don't really think about it that much. At least I know I didn't when I was in high school.
I agree with Logan. You know, like, I still had a really close group of friends at school, but it was my church friends that were my core group, and those were my best friends.
So question number two, to kind of play off the first one, is this: how can you influence your friends without being influenced by them, particularly the friends who probably aren't a good influence on you? How can you influence them without them being an influence on you too much? Or is that possible?
So I'll start off. That's kind of tough, especially, like I said, there's a difference between friends and best friends. And if you have a good group of best friends that are gonna have the same values, that's gonna help. But there's the analogy of the ladder, and that it's always easier to be pulled somebody down from a ladder than help somebody up from the ladder. But I think if you have four people pulling that one person up, that's kind of a really good way to help influence that person in the right direction. So, I mean, obviously, sometimes you don't have a group of people that can really help you. And in those instances, I would say just be cautious and listen to God, honestly.
I think you also have to know which way you want to be influenced, because you can have four really good friends that are looking out for you, but if you're not willing to listen to what they're having to say or, like, let them influence you, then you're going to be easier pulled down by the people that don't have your best interest at heart.
And I want to remind you, especially for the ones of you that are older in here, it's really important to make sure you know who you're being influenced by, because you are also influencing other people. You know, a lot of you guys who are juniors and seniors, you have middle school students who are looking up to you or watching what you're doing. And so are you being a positive influence on them?
I think all of us can agree. We probably have at least one friend that our parents wish we were not friends with because they're not a great influence. You're probably thinking of who that is. And some advice just for managing that friendship would be this. If you go and you hang out with them and you're surrounded by a bunch of people who aren't a good influence, the chances of you influencing them are very slim. But if you can get that friend who might not be a great influence and you can kind of get them on your turf, you know, bring them to church, surround them with your friends, you have a way better opportunity to actually influence them rather than being influenced by them.
I'm going to kind of go off what you said. Unfortunately, whenever I was in middle school and high school, I had segmented friends at church and then other friends in high school. And that kind of sometimes, even me and Josh shared a class together sophomore year, and he would not talk to me because I had other friends, even though he was one of my church friends.
I love Jesus. Yeah.
Anyways.
Was that with Mr. Coates?
No, that was Miss Skull. Skull.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, definitely take the opportunity now while you're still having the interactions with the people day to day, because now, honestly, a lot of the friends that I had from high school I don't see as often as I did back then, and now is the opportunity for you guys to actually invite them to things like First Wednesday and church events like that that are going to really be able to plug them in.
And I think this isn't true with every situation, every friendship, but I think you're going to have even more opportunities to impact their life after middle school and high school, because I know for us, there's a few number of friends that we've kept after that we're no longer, like, in school with, but we've been able to show them our faith, and they've been able to grow through that more after we've been out of high school, since they've had to kind of be on their own more than anything and not be dependent on their parents or, like, the school to tell them what to do. So that kind of definitely helped, I think, as well.
All right, question number three. What qualities should they be looking for when they're picking friends? Like, what would you say are the most important things they need to look for in like a close friend or a best friend?
So I'll tell you what I look for when I am looking for a friend, and it's two main things. So one is consistency. My, like, pet peeve is when people are flaky. You know, you make plans and people flake out. So they have to be consistent, and they also have to be trustworthy. You know, I don't want a friend that I don't feel like I can share things with and that will support me and that will go and tell everyone what I had told them. So for me, they have to be consistent, and they have to be trustworthy.
For me, I think the biggest thing is, like, the friends that you want to have in your life are the ones that you feel like you're yourself around the most, where you're not having to, like, act a certain way to get them to like you. And I think that when you're in middle school and high school, that's a little more common. So like having those friends that you can just be yourself around is really important. And those are the friendships that I've had that have stayed the longest just because they accept me for me, not me for what I'm kind of giving them as what I am, if that makes sense.
Well, I kind of thought was reliability. That's probably the biggest thing for me. And that doesn't even necessarily mean if I'm like texting you to like hang out, you come through. It's more so in my time of need, I need my close friends to be there for me. And I know sometimes, like with Josh, for those of you that don't know, I was the best man at his wedding, one of my best friends. We also have Zach, AJ, there's a couple other in here that we're like really, really close with. And I know if I texted any of them with any sort of circumstance that I just really needed help with, that any of them would come through for me.
I was in that wedding too.
He's also in there too. He's in there too.
But I'm over 25 now, so I guess we're not friends anymore.
We're still friends though. You just can't make new ones.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Here's one thing I look to avoid in friends is people who gossip to me. Because if they're gossiping to me, there's a really good chance they're gossiping about me. So if you're around someone who's just always talking bad about other people, you can be pretty confident they're probably talking bad about you. So it doesn't mean that like you don't hang out with them, but I wouldn't let them in my inner circle.
I do also want to challenge you guys, though, because yes, we're looking for friends that are going to be good influences on us, but we have to embody what it means to be a good friend to other people. So whatever you think you really need in a friend is what you need to embody yourself, because, I mean, that's the best way to find that.
All right, question number four. Why is it so important to make friends here in the student ministry? And just so you all know, all four of us are former students. Me, Josh, and Logan went middle school through high school, and Morgan was here for all of high school. So we're going to talk a little bit about our relationships that we had in the student ministry, and just so why is it important that they have those relationships as well?
I think that if you make relationships through the student ministry, you're never going to lose what you have in common with those people, because the thing that's uniting you should be your relationship in Christ. And, you know, where you go to school is going to change, where you work is going to change, what sports team you play on is going to change. But hopefully throughout your entire life, your relationship with Christ and the dedication that you have with Christ is never going to change. And having a group of friends that can obviously walk through you with that, but having church friends isn't just for them to be there for you spiritually. It's for them to be there for you in all aspects of life. Like you were talking about, like, I know the people that I can go to are the same people that I've been friends with all of high school, middle school, through youth group.
So for me, I struggled to connect initially when I came into the student ministry. And so for my first 3 years of high school, my main group was my friends, my school friends. Those were the people I went to school with at Bloomingdale. I loved them. I had great relationships with them. But it wasn't until my senior year where that kind of shifted and my core group of friends began to be my church friends. And when that shift happened, I noticed a complete difference in literally everything in my life. These people were my main circle of influence, and it impacted how I talked, who I hung out with, who I spent the majority of my time with. And those relationships have had lasting impacts. And exactly what Josh was saying, we had the most important thing in common, and that's why I'm still friends with these people now.
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, if you really look at it, me and Josh look very different. Me and Zach look very different. Zach was the quarterback of a football team.
He was a D1 quarterback.
D1 quarterback.
Did you know that? D1 quarterback.
So
he's a really big deal.
We honestly, if you look at it on paper, we really don't have too much of a reason to be friends. But the student ministry is something that has kind of brought us together. And because we have those common values, and we all are just striving after the same goal, it kind of just brings us together. And that's, I think, one of the main reasons why we're so passionate about the youth ministry, is because this is where we kind of really solidified our relationships with one another. And yeah.
Yeah, when I was in high school, my best friends were definitely here in the student ministry. And what's interesting was pretty much none of us went to the same school. We all went to different schools. So they weren't people I saw every day. I would see them Wednesday night, Sunday morning. We might hang out on the weekend. But the people here at church really weren't my closest friends. And the connection I was able to have with people at church, because we were all believers, was just stronger than the connection I had with somebody who I saw in class every day. Like my relationships at school, they weren't the same as the relationships I've had here. And if you've gone to camp or you've been around for a while, you've probably started to experience that even though you might not see each other as much, the relationships you have here and what you experience together here, it's different. And it's just more meaningful than other kinds of relationships. Not to say you shouldn't have friends at school.
Yeah,
it's just different.
I think there's there's a spiritual connection to friendship if you find somebody that has that same faith as you, and it's just so impactful. And it's really hard to like describe in words, but it definitely like really solidifies like a really strong bond.
And I think that kind of the spiritual relationship that you guys can embark in together kind of overcomes everything else, because like Logan said, we really don't have that much in common, especially when we were like in high school. We had almost nothing in common other than Jesus. And yeah, so like the fact that we were friends is because we had that initial bond, and then just learning to enjoy what each other enjoyed and like finding joy in that. That sounds really, really, really dumb.
And my best friend from the student ministry actually moved away. She lives in Orlando. She went off to school. But one of the things that I've noticed is that when she still comes back, even though that relationship's changed, we had that initial bond of our relationship with Christ. And so that relationship's been able to withstand her going off to school, moving away, all because it was rooted here at church and it was rooted in our relationship with Christ.
So question number 5 kind of follows up. What advice would you give to students who they're hearing this, they think it's great, but maybe they're new and they haven't really been able to connect, or maybe they've been here for a while and they've just never developed those kind of friendships. What kind of advice would you give to them?
I came here when I was in 6th grade and just about to start middle school, and everybody knew who I was, but I didn't know anybody, and everybody thought I was the weird pastor's kid, and to their point, I was. So, like, I think the thing that made the biggest impact was just being there consistently and letting them kind of hear me and, like, talk and just forcing you guys to be around me more than anything, if that makes sense. And like, I didn't really, yeah. Like,
for me, it's kind of different because I was like literally raised in this church. So I've kind of I've always known people and I've always had that kind of relationship. So when I thought about this question, it didn't really exactly relate to me. But in the same way, like the way we became friends is because one of us had to go out of our ways to talk to the other one. And for the people that are here, Bell Shoals has had a history of being cliquey, I'm going to be real. There's been people that I have talked to that said they didn't really want to come back just because they didn't feel like they were able to enter into a friend group. And now I think that was many years ago, and now you guys have gotten a lot better about that. But when new people come, it's really so important for each and every one of you guys to really reach out to those people and make this place feel like home, because that's what it is for us. And the Christ doesn't want just the people in this church to come to heaven with him. Like, he wants everyone involved in that. So
my family came to Bell Shoals when I was in 9th grade, and we moved from another church in the area, and I was extremely plugged in. I had great friends there. I loved my youth pastor, and when we moved to Bell Shoals, I was not happy. I was mad. I didn't want to be here. And so for the first 3 years, really, of high school, I kind of came, and I was here, but that's all I did. I didn't really talk. I wasn't super consistent. And like I said earlier, it wasn't until my senior year where I really began to get plugged in. And one of the things that was super important for me was actually sharing and opening up when I had the chance in my small group and allowing people to get to know me and to actually talk. Because sometimes it's really easy to sit in your small group and not say anything and just kind of look at your leader with a blank stare. But ultimately, that's not helping you build your friendships with other people, and it's not enabling others to have the opportunity to get to know you. So that was really helpful for me.
I'd also just encourage you, if you're new, to come consistently. If you really want to get plugged in, come every Wednesday, every Sunday. You're going to have great opportunities to meet a lot of people, and I think everybody's really nice. Like, and that was my interaction with everybody. Like, they were glad that I was there. I was just there every week, came to camp and straight up weekend, and those are like high pressure situations when you can make a lot of friends in a little bit of time.
Yeah, I don't mean to promote camp too much, but that it's just such an environment where you're so withdrawn from the world that really all barriers of who's who kind of gets thrown away, and you're able just to be yourself. And I've noticed through like camp and straight up weekend, when I was going through it in middle school and high school, there were like people that I would not normally talk to that I realized were like such cool people, and it just gives you an opportunity to be able to reach out by like talking in small groups and things like you said.
The three things I had written down, pretty much you guys have already said, but I'll just kind of reiterate them. Number one, like what he said, you've got to attend consistently. If you come twice a month on Wednesday night, that means you're here for maybe 2 hours out of the month. To expect to be able to build real friendships in 2 hours in a month, it's just not going to happen. I think the students who have that deepest connection are the ones who are here Sunday and Wednesday consistently. And I know it's sometimes not possible to be here every week. I understand that. But the more consistent you are, the better the relationships you're going to have. The second thing, the small groups. I mean, we don't do small groups just because we have to. We do small groups because we think they're important. And you're only going to get as much out of your small group as you're willing to put in. So if you go and you just cross your arms and you refuse to answer and you won't talk to anybody, then yeah, you're probably not going to make those relationships. But if you really see those small groups as that opportunity to connect and take advantage of that, I really believe you're going to begin to build those relationships. And just as Logan said, camp. Like, you've got to go to camp. You've got to go to camp. It will be the best week of your year. I promise you that. If you're kind of like, hey, I don't really know a lot of people, I'm not really connected, if you come to camp, you will leave camp with friendships. So you've got to go to camp. It's not even optional.
And you can register for camp right now.
You can. Yeah. Registration is open.
Abby Cannon, you are going to camp this year,
Abby
too.
Abby Cannon.
You had a great year last year. We're so excited that you're going.
Your mom's going.
We're so excited.
Your mom is going as a counselor.
All right, question number six. And we've kind of touched base on this earlier. But what does it look like to be a great friend to someone else? So oftentimes we're looking for qualities in other people as friends, but what does it mean for us to be a great friend?
I think just being willing to sacrifice for the other person, and I think that sacrifice changes each kind of level you go up. Like in middle school, it can be just sacrificing time on Wednesday or Sunday to hang out with somebody. In high school, it's probably like money and going out to do something because you have no money. And then in college, it's just sacrificing time. And like, especially now, like, I know it means more to my friends and it means more to me if they're willing to spend 2 hours with me, even if we're not doing anything, than like going and doing something really cool. Just being able to sacrifice time, I think, and just make sacrifices for your friends and caring about them as much as they care about you.
I think it's really important to also sacrifice being uncomfortable with your friends. I think to really be a good friend to somebody, you need to sometimes have hard conversations with them. And I know a lot of the times I'll see people just like, I don't know if it's my place to say, but if this person is claiming to be a Christian and you're also going to be their brother or sister in Christ, like there are times whenever you need to be there for them in that way and go into those uncomfortable situations. And sometimes it's not even confronting them about like something they're doing. Sometimes it's literally asking, how can I pray for you? Which I think gets so overlooked. And me and Josh, we were actually kind of talking about this morning and talking about like how we can pray for each other and how much that like really helps your friendship.
And I think, as I mentioned earlier, being consistent, you know, being willing, especially if you're being a good friend, being willing to celebrate your friend's successes without getting jealous, but also being willing to walk through those hard, difficult times when things are not good for them and being there for them as well.
The thing I had written down was being a friend who listens more than you talk, because it's really easy like to hang out with your friends and you just talk about yourself the entire time and you don't even ask them how they're doing. You're not listening to them, but it's kind of like a mutual, it's like a 50-50 thing, because if you're just always taking from them and it's always about you, it's really not much of a friendship. It's kind of like they're just there as your support. But you're supposed to be that for each other. Anything else you guys wanted to add with that? All right, so question seven. What advice do you have for students interacting with their friends digitally? So either over text, Snapchat, DM, because I think a lot of the issues they get into in their relationships occur because of their phones and the way they communicate.
I think it can be a great thing to like get friend groups together and like planning stuff and stuff like that. I know we have like a bunch of stuff where we just send funny stuff or like politics or like weird stuff in there. And like that's good because you guys are all like growing together, laughing at the same thing, enjoying that. I think that the issues arise when you try to address conflict or create conflict with somebody over social media or text. I just don't think that's conductive of anything, so that's kind of my one.
What's the issue with that?
I think you get, like, the perfect opportunity to hurt somebody's feelings without being in front of them. You have, like, unlimited time to craft something that you know is really going to hurt their feelings.
And I think it's also really important that you, like, people interpret things so much differently over text. Like, you might text something to someone meaning it one way, and they're going to take it a completely different manner, and, like, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it to, like, hurt their feelings or have them be upset with you when you could have just had the conversation in person. So recognizing that your friends are probably going to interpret things differently over text or Snapchat versus maybe than what you meant them to be.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that. I don't really like the like idea of, like, really just hang out over, like, some digital platform. Like, I think the way we kind of use it is really just, like, send short messages back and forth to each other and then, like, plan to hang out. And I think that's really where you're going to get the best opportunity. But also it can be used in a good way. Like, on occasions we'll send each other Bible verses and, like, words of encouragement. And you can use that in a good way. But in the same way, you have to be cautious about what you're sending as well, because I know there's people that think that there's no repercussions for the things they send online when it can be perceived so much worse.
Yeah, what I had written down was, don't ever send something that you wouldn't say to somebody's face. Because a lot of people get really bold behind their phone or behind a keyboard, and you'll say things to people or about people that you would never in a million years have the guts to say to their face. So if it's not something you would say to their face, don't send it over text. And as Josh said, I would never deal with any conflict, any difficult conversation over the phone, even talking on the phone. Because body language is such a big part of it. I think you need to sit down, look them eye to eye, and have those conversations.
I think in a way also, like, whenever you're face-to-face with somebody, it adds empathy on your part, because you can really, like, be able to connect with somebody. But whenever you're nowhere near the other person, especially through text message, like, you can't even hear the tone of voice or anything.
And this is just kind of my thing. I don't think you can repair a relationship over text message. Like, if you're sorry about something, just saying, I'm so sorry, I've been a bad friend lately, I'll try to be better. Like, everybody's just going to say, oh my gosh, I love you so much. Yeah, it's okay, it's whatever. But really, your relationship's not any better. And, like, that's a pet peeve of mine.
It's just weird when you see that person in person. Like, it's just like you text and you're like, you're cool or whatever, but at the same time, you're just seeing them and you're just like, it's uncomfortable. I don't know why.
And you didn't have, like, the respect to talk to me about this face-to-face. Yeah. That's how it comes back to me. It's kind of like a respect issue if you're doing something online.
All right, so question 8 is kind of two parts. Let me ask the first part. How do you resolve conflict and drama with a friend? So this is like when you and a friend have an issue. We've already said probably not over text. How do you resolve conflict with a friend?
I definitely think you need to have a face-to-face conversation with them, as kind of we talked about earlier. But I think it's really important how you have that conversation. Your body language and your tone obviously convey a lot, but also, like, give them the opportunity to speak. Like, you both kind of need the opportunity to address each other, like, let each other know how you're feeling or maybe what the other person did that hurt you, but also give them the opportunity to speak as well. Because if you have an issue with someone, you might not realize that they also have an issue with you. And it gives you guys the opportunity to talk and then to begin to repair that relationship.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend actually who was kind of complaining about one of their other friendships, and I was telling them, like, you need to talk to this person, and you have to present whatever they're doing that's bothering you, and tell them why it's bothering you, and tell you to what severity is it bothering you, and then you also have to give them the opportunity to express anything that you might be doing that might bother them, and then as friends, you really just have to, if you really want a good relationship with one another, you have to work together to kind of cater to that other person. Not entirely, obviously, I'm not telling you to change yourself, but, like, to really be conscious of the other person's feelings.
I think just being willing to take the first step, like, even if you're the one that's being, like, if you feel like you're being wronged, just being willing to go up and talk to somebody, if their friendship means that much to you, that's really bothering you, you should go and talk to them about it, because you wouldn't want that friendship to end, even if they have done something to you, you should still start that conversation.
Yeah, I think, like, if you and a friend are having an issue or you're sensing that there's some kind of tension, going to them and only them, because if you pull other friends in, even if you're just venting or getting their advice, once other people are aware of the situation,
it gets a lot worse. Because they start talking, then your friend thinks you're talking bad about them. I think the best way to resolve conflict and the quickest way is to go directly to that person and only that person and just kind of nip it in the bud before it kind of grows. So the next part of this question is, what do you do when you're in the middle of two friends who are having drama and conflict and you're kind of stuck in between?
So I think this is the worst place to be, and I found myself in this situation several times, and for me personally, I would rather have conflict with another individual than be stuck in the middle of two people who have conflict with each other. And so one of the things I found is that try to remain as neutral as possible. It's hard, and especially when you have both people talking to you and complaining about each other, it's very difficult, but try to remain neutral. And normally, like, I don't try and give advice to people. And if you're going to give advice to someone, give the same advice to both parties. Don't tell one person one thing and then the other person something else. Try and give the same exact advice to both of your friends.
Yeah, I would say force them to sit down. Like, if they come to you and they start talking bad, or, like, send them directly to that person. Because as soon as you start to listen to it, even if you're trying to, like, empathize and you say, hey, I see where you're coming from, then they're going to tell their friend, oh, they agree with me, like, I would just send them to the other person, not even
here. You're always going to look like the bad guy if you try and empathize, and if you're stuck in the middle, you're always going to end up looking like the bad guy.
And if you end up being the person that's, like, running back, telling one person what the other person said, trying to, like, rebuild the friendship.
Like Hermione with Ron and Harry.
Sure.
Exactly.
Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
Do you not know that reference?
I've seen the movie. I don't know it, like, that well.
I'm listening to the audiobooks right now.
Okay.
They're great.
So I think just, like, running back, trying to rebuild a friendship like that, it's not actually going to help anything, because you want those two people to be more friends than those two people want to be friends with each other. And, like, I've seen that where I feel like I'm running back in between, or I'm making somebody else do that, and it hurts the relationship of the person that you're arguing with, and then it also hurts the person that's running back in between you, and you don't want that.
For me, it kind of, like, depends on how close of friends those two people were, because, I mean, if they weren't really that great of friends anyways, then I kind of just stay out of it. But if it's, like, two of my very close friends, I tell them to get over it. Like, it almost doesn't matter what it is. Like, at the end of the day, like, do you value whatever conflict this is more than the friendship that you've had for X amount of years? And for me, that's never the case. I've never valued a conflict more than that.
Have any of you ever had to, like, mediate between two friends and found it to be, like, a good thing, or is it always bad? What do you think?
Usually it's all of us against one of us, so it'll be like three.
It's like a three-on-one.
Yeah, it'll be, we'll all be upset, but then Josh usually tries to empathize with the other person, mediates a little bit, which is nice, because you kind of need that at times.
Yeah. All right, question number 9, and I've been told we're going to disagree on this one.
This is likely.
How do you know when it's time to let a friendship come to an end? So maybe you've started high school, and there's something going on with a friend from middle school. Maybe you're getting ready to graduate, and you're trying to figure out, like, is this run its course? Do I need to fight for this? What do you guys think?
I want you to go first.
You want me to go first? Okay.
Yes.
I'll go first. So, like I said earlier, all of my best friends from high school were all here in the student ministry. They were all in my wedding. And, like, we hung out 3 or 4 times a night, like, all the time, best friends. I moved to Oklahoma when I was 22 or 23, and I was determined, I'm going to keep all of these friendships. It's going to stay the same. You know, we're still going to be best friends. And when I was in Oklahoma, I was actually, because I had no life out there and never made any friends there, I was able to keep all my friends back at home because I'd call them, I'd text them, we would stay in touch. But when I moved back to Brandon, things just were very different with all of those friends. Some moved to other states. We were just in different seasons of life. And those best friends that I had, the relationship was just began to be different. And at first I thought this was a bad thing, and I fought really hard, like, we gotta all stay together, we gotta be best friends, you know, I can't make any other friends because I'm almost gonna be 25, and then what do I do?
It's true.
But what I've kind of come to realize is some friendships are for a season. Some friends are for life, some friends are for a season, and just because a friendship ends or becomes different, it's not a bad thing. Like, a friendship doesn't have to have this terrible ending. Some friendships just drift apart. I mean, I only have 2 friends from middle school that I even still talk to. So those of you who are in middle school, you might not still be friends with them. I don't know. High school, in terms of high school, my only friends that I still talk to from high school are the friends that I had here in the student ministry. If they were a friend just from school, I don't really talk to them. And honestly, I don't talk to anybody from college other than people I knew at church. So it's just friendships run their course sometimes. It's not a bad thing.
So I very much disagree with that. Matthew's never really had a true best friend. That's why.
Wow! Wow!
So, in my honest opinion, I think there are different levels of friendship, and there's certain times, like, there are times where I think you might need to distance yourself from a friend, but there's never a time where I think God would want you to turn your back from a friend. I don't think that's exactly what you're saying, but.
I thought the same thing at 21.
Well, I mean, I
did.
Still
no, it was
my friends
it was really,
here.
At your like I had the same and not there really isn't a right or wrong, but at your age, like I was convinced we're gonna stay tight, and then it just changed.
I don't necessarily think that change is a bad thing because I've already been experiencing that currently with one of my really really close friends. We're just kind of drifting off a little bit, but there's never going to be a time where if he hits me up or anything like that I'm not going to come through. Friendship is something that I think takes work, and I think once somebody else's values change, that can definitely put a strain on it. But regardless, I think we're always called to be a good influence on people and always be able to be there for them.
So I agree with Matthew. I guess that means I've never had a best friend either. That's okay.
You have.
But for me, as I've gotten older, my stages of life have changed. Being 21 and married is a lot different than my friends who are still in college, and we're just in different seasons of life, and that's okay. And my needs for a friendship, the things like I desire for a friendship, have changed as well. You know, I desire to have friends who are similar to me, and who it's great to have friends that are different than you too, and I have those. But I desire my close friends to be similar to me, and I can talk to about things, and they can understand what I'm going through. And so my needs have changed as I've gotten a little older, and therefore, you know, I've lost some friendships, and I think that's okay.
And to kind of like, I understand what Logan's saying, because the people I don't talk to as much, I would still consider them friends. And like, if they called me and said, hey, I need something, I'm showing up at their house. It's just different now than it used to be.
I think like the expectations of your friendship can change with time, but like your friendship doesn't necessarily change with them. So definitely like moving, I went away for college for 1 year and then I came back because I wanted to marry her. And right? Super cute.
Your parents are going to tell you to not do that.
Yeah.
But it does work
don't
out.
Don't do it.
It works.
It works. And, like, my friendships were definitely different while I was gone, and I was scared coming back that they wouldn't be the same. But if you're both willing to put in that work and neither of you wants the relationship to end in that standpoint, I think you're going to still have those friends that are more than just kind of, like, proximity friends, like you work together, you go to school together. And definitely those friends that you know for a long time from church and things like that, I think will stay together.
You do, though, whenever you haven't seen somebody for a while, this is just a thing about Josh, whenever he hasn't seen somebody for a while, he starts, like, even me, like, he'll start small talk. And I'm like, dude, we're, like, literally best friends. Why are you talking
to me? I feel like I have to make you like me again.
And it makes me so uncomfortable. He has a voice to it and everything. I can't stand it.
I do.
So I would just say, like, for those of you who just started high school and you had close friends in middle school, or maybe you're ending high school and you're getting ready to go to college, if those friendships that you have that are best friends right now change and you're not as close, it's not a bad thing. Would you all agree with that? Like,
I think if the dynamic of the friendship changes, right, that's not necessarily right. A bad thing at all.
As long as you're still willing to like be there for each other, I don't think that's bad.
All right, so final question. How do you communicate with friends who have different beliefs and values than you do? So maybe they're not a believer, or they just have different, you know, morals than you. How do you have conversations and communicate with them?
I'll go. So it's tough. I mean, I think you really have to have the frame of reference of where they're really coming from whenever you communicate with them. Obviously, if they're not Christians, you can't say, hey, that's not right. Like, God doesn't want you to be doing that, because they might not believe in God. So for you, you kind of have to cater to really where they're coming from. And I still think you can love on them and show Christ through that. It's kind of just a difference of approach in the way that you speak and in the way that you kind of show them love.
I think if you can build off something that you have in common and they can know your character and kind of respect you for what you believe in that standpoint, you're then able to better relate to them. I had a friend in high school, and I'm still friends with him now. I'm not as close with him as I was in high school just because we don't go to school together anymore. But, like, he was a super strong atheist. And when I first got to know him, I thought it was because he didn't love God. And that's not necessarily what it was. And if I had gone with that approach, talking to him about kind of what we differed in believing in, it wouldn't have been effective. But just getting to know him more and more and him being more comfortable talking to me because he knew what my beliefs were and how what my faith was, I could tell he did not believe in God. He didn't believe in he believed in Jesus. He just was so disenfranchised with church and with people in church. And so my entire thing was just trying to make sure I could help him understand the difference between church and a relationship with Jesus. And he's definitely made progress in that. He's still not willing to, like, go all in, but because I had that relationship with him, it was much more effective than if I hadn't.
And what's cool about that is I know the same person that Josh was talking about, and they actually really appreciate it too. It's not even a matter of, like, they feel uncomfortable because you're asking them those kind of questions. Like, they, at least he did, he understood that it was because of the fact that we love him as a person, that we have that kind of desire to, like, know him in that way.
And I've probably had, like, deeper conversations with him about his faith and his views on God and his ethics than I have with, you know, some of my Christian friends, just because he's so much more cemented on those things because he feels like he has to defend them.
And I think one of the most important ways to show somebody that you care, especially someone who might be extremely different from you, is to ask a lot of questions. You know, we don't like those friendships where people just talk about themselves the entire time, but we like for people to ask us questions and give us time to share. And so as you're communicating with people, especially people that are really, really different than you, take the opportunity to ask them questions and get to know them. And those questions will then lead to so many other conversations.
I would say the biggest thing that I've just experienced is you almost have to earn the right to share what you believe, because if you just, like, meet somebody and you start, you know, sharing your beliefs and what you think is right, you haven't really earned the right to speak into their life. I mean, you can take that approach. It probably just won't be very effective. But if you build that relationship and you earn their trust, you kind of earn that right to be able to speak into their life. And they'll probably have things they want to speak into you about.
And they may not agree with what you're saying, but they'll definitely respect what you're saying because they respect you. And I think that's huge, just being able for them to listen to what you're having to say.
Awesome. Well, that's it for tonight. Can we make some noise for our panel?